Psalm chapter 37. We'll be starting there tonight. We'll be using our Bibles quite a bit throughout the message, but using Psalm 37. And then as you're finding that, if you could please stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll read the first seven verses of this psalm. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the new day. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And we'll go ahead and start off with a word of prayer as we get started in the message now. Lord, I love you and just thank you for this day, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach your word tonight. Just help me as I'm kind of nervous now, but just help me to help that nerves to help me to rely more on you, and just help me to honor and glorify you with what I say, and just give the people the ears to hear, and just help all that we say to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, the idea behind this message kind of came one of those late nights. Sometimes you just can't fall asleep. So one thing I learned was to turn to the Bible. I had read this passage, guess it was over the last weekend, and I kind of thought of a weird idea. I noticed three words in there: the commit, the trust, and the rest. But I was having trouble thinking of an idea for this sermon. But then the Lord kind of gave me the idea. Sometimes when people's heart stops, when their heart will stop beating, there will be a call for something called cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or CPR. Now, I kind of noticed in this passage a spiritual CPR formula. But I hadn't thought of it this way until just the other day. And as I was thinking about this, it kind of drew me back into this passage. And that's the idea I want to bring out tonight, is do we need a spiritual cardiopulmonary resuscitation or spiritual CPR? So we're going to get right into that first point, which is our C, which is recommitting our way to the Lord. Recommitting our way to the Lord. So back in verse 5, it said, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, I was studying for this, I was looking back and seeing some different passages on presenting or even committing. And right away, the first passage that came to my mind was actually in the book of Romans, chapter 12. You can turn there if you'd like. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we see the idea here of presenting your bodies. And I was thinking, a living sacrifice there. And as I was thinking about this living sacrifice, I began to, and then in verse 2 it talks about not being conformed to this world. In verse 2 it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here we see, we're presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's not, some people think, oh, it's just something I have to do once. No. Oftentimes, as soon as you feel yourself stepping off that altar, get back on there. Because the Lord can't use you when you're full of your own self. You've got to take that crucified heart, as we used to sing back when I was in youth group. Take that crucified heart. You've got to die to self. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about how our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. In verses 19 and 20, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So now we see, why we are supposed to present our body as that living sacrifice. We were bought with that price, and the price was the blood of Christ. And if we don't commit that to, if we don't commit our lives to the Lord, how is he supposed to use us? Then a second thing I saw here was the idea of our thoughts. So back in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 16 and verse number 3, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So here we see committing our works will help to establish our thoughts. And as we think about this, God has, there's certain, just, I guess it was not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, Pastor preached that message on the mind of Christ. And as I was thinking about that, I couldn't help but go back and look at that passage again during this preparation, because I was thinking, thoughts established. Now, we know that this would not be the thoughts that the world wants us to have, but as we're yielding ourselves, our lives to Christ, and we're yielding our thoughts to Christ as well, we'll have those thoughts that Christ would have had of being a servant to others. But then we see what to do. Then I saw something in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10. Back now, this one is kind of a little bit different, because this is what sometimes we still will have those wrong thoughts here and there. But at the same time, we know that God is greater than those thoughts that we have. Because in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And as I was looking at this, I was like, committing our thought, recommitting our lives, bodies and lives, as the living sacrifice. But then, not only do we need to commit our bodies, we need to commit our minds to the thoughts that God would want us to have. Because if we're living our lives the way that Christ would want us to, wouldn't thinking like Christ just come straight in hand? Not exactly sometimes, but sometimes we have to double up on that. So now we see, so now that we've looked at recommitting our way to the Lord, we're going to go into our P, which is placing our trust in the Lord. Because we see that in verse number, back in Psalm chapter 37, where we started, we see something, we see in verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Then we saw in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So if you see here, we see two aspects of the results of trusting in the Lord. We see in verse 3, the aspect of trusting in the Lord, and thou shalt dwell in the land and verily be fed. So when we're trusting in the Lord, he knows those needs that we have. But at the same time, he wants us to trust him for those needs. There's a reason why in the Lord's Prayer it said, give us this day our daily bread. It didn't say that we had to, it didn't say ask for your bread for the next month. It said daily, as if it was something that he wanted us to rely on him for every day. But then in verse 5, we see, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, many times I remember going through college, and I did not know for the longest time what the Lord would have me. And like Brother Young said, if you would have met me when I was in seventh grade, you would have never had a thought that I'd be standing up here preaching on a Wednesday night. Sometimes I try to think back when I was in seventh grade, and I do not like to think about that. Now, Brother Samuel knows some of the stuff because he was in seventh grade with me, so he knows some of the stuff that we did in seventh grade. But sometimes I think, now I'm thinking, as time went on, I mean, I went through the Christian school here. Then, as a freshman in college, people are like, what are you here for? And I'm like, I honestly have no clue. Then sophomore year in college comes, and still, Nothing yet. But then, I just keep going, I keep going. Then I went through another year of college and still had no clue what was going on. But then, during my junior year, it was like, okay, you're a junior. What are you even doing? Once again, the devil just kept plaguing me with that thought, like, Travis, why are you even still here? This is your fourth year. You have nothing planned after this, which at that time I had no clue what I was doing after graduation. But then some stuff happened in my life to where the Lord ended up leading me to go for a fifth year. During that fifth year was kind of, then I realized what was going on. The Lord had to use those first 4 years to break me. And as he was breaking me, because those first 4 years, I was kind of like, those first 4 years, I was like, this is easy. Music theory, not a problem. But then as I got closer and closer, it was like, towards the end of my junior year, the Lord was kind of telling me, the Lord was kind of teaching me some things that I don't really know if I wouldn't have gone through that fifth year. But then the Lord was just preparing me for that time. But then during that fifth year, when the Lord's like, okay, you are finally ready. Now you can see what I prepared for you, what this next step is. And as I was thinking about that, I mean, it's senior year. People are starting to ask, okay, Travis, you're finally a senior. What are you doing after you graduate? I'm like, I still have no clue. But then time goes on. Then about a few weeks into the semester, our dean of students, Brother Schrock, comes up to me and is like, I've got this pastor who's looking for someone for music. And as I was going towards, as I was looking for that, I'm like, as the Lord began to open the doors there, I'm like, this is why the Lord had me go that fifth year. So had I not stayed that extra year and been broken by the Lord during that year, maybe I wouldn't be going to South Carolina this weekend. But sometimes I think about that. But then, as I just had to trust in the Lord that he had that plan for me.
Right.
But then, as time went on, as the Lord began to unfold more and more of that plan, and as I began to trust in the Lord more, he began to reveal more and more of that plan. And then, so in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which I'm pretty sure most of you could even quote, we see that trusting in the Lord. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So many times, I remember how I would lean on everything that I knew. Like, okay, here's, so it's like, okay, sometimes for me, it was like, okay, it's Monday. I only have this class on Monday. So just go to this class, go to chapel, and then I'm done for the day. Go to work. But then it was like, I got into that schedule, but sometimes the Lord would throw something at me randomly during that day, like, all right, here we go. So there was days where I'd be like, okay, this is my plan for today. But then the Lord would be like, yeah, watch me switch that plan for you. And then I'd be like, okay, I have the afternoon free. I can actually get some schoolwork done. And then someone would need something in ministry. And I'm like, or someone would need someone to help them with the ministry thing. And I'd be like, okay, I'll go with you. But then sometimes the Lord just showed me that you may have your plans, but be willing to change those plans for what I need. And as the Lord began to show me this more and more during the time I was in college, I began to see more clearly what the Lord was preparing me for. But then we also see back in Psalm chapter 34, verse 8, which is one of those verses that I feel like every mother should have in their kitchen, because it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hey. Now, I know us Baptists, and we like to eat.
That's right.
But then the rest of that verse is kind of what stood out to me here. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So God promises blessing to those that trust in him. And I was like, I wonder what those blessings could be. So then I began to start looking at it. And I was like, as I began to think more and more on that verse, because sometimes different verses will just stand out to me for different reasons. But as I was looking at this, I began to look further into the passage. And where it's, O taste and see that the Lord is good, we see not that there's the blessing for those who trust in him, but part of that blessing is seeing the goodness of the Lord. Because as we're trusting in the Lord, he will show us his goodness through different things. It may be something small, like maybe you get to see something, God do something in your life that you weren't expecting, but you'd been praying about for a time. But then as he's blessing you more and more, and you, he encourages us to trust in him more. But then, kind of in closing here, we're going to be looking at back in Psalm 37. We're going to be looking at verse number 7 this time, where it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Now, I was looking at this idea of resting in the Lord, and sometimes the Lord will just put us in a position to where we need to rest. Now, I like this acronym, the SAINT acronym, where it says Sunday afternoon is nap time. I agree with that wholeheartedly now that I've gotten older. But then at the same time, sometimes the Lord just wants us to take some time and to reflect on what he has done in our lives. Sometimes we may be in the middle of a trial, and as we're in the middle of this trial, the Lord will bring us different things. And as he brings us these different things, will be that come back to our mind is, yes, I can praise the Lord for this thing to happen back then. Even though I'm going through this trial over here, I can praise the Lord for something that happened couple months ago, because the valleys, even though we're not meant to live on that mountain of victory, we're meant to go through those valleys as well of trial, because the trying of our faith is what works the patience that we were talking about just last Sunday as well. Because when we have that patience, we see more and more what we're patient through that. And sometimes the Lord may say, wait. But as we're waiting, he wants us to wait so that we can rest on what he has done. And so in Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Now, back when I was in college, one of the staff men had preached a message in chapel about being still. Now, sometimes the Bible doesn't say here how long to be still, but sometimes it could just be take a couple days and just be still and spend some extra time with the Lord, because here it says that he will be exalted in the earth. And maybe this trial that he has put in your life, maybe it's so that someone in your family will see, some unsaved family member see that, okay, they're going through this, but how are they keeping their joy? Because they're trying to understand that this joy that you have, and it gives you that opportunity to share the gospel with, that extra opportunity to share the gospel with them, because they see the joy, and you can tell them about how the joy of the Lord is your strength, is what Nehemiah was saying. But then also we see that sometimes we just need to wait on the Lord. In Psalm chapter 27, verse number 14, we'll go back up to verse number 13, because 13 kind of gives the introduction to verse number 14. It says, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Now here we see that as we're waiting on the Lord, we're supposed to be of this good courage. Now where we see also this idea of good courage back in the book of Joshua, where as the people are crossing into the promised land, God tells Joshua to tell the people to be strong and of a good courage. And also we see that in Deuteronomy as Moses is giving his farewell to the children of Israel. He's telling them in Deuteronomy chapter 31, I'm going to turn there real quick so I don't get this wrong. But it's Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6. where we'll be. And it says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." So now we see, as we're waiting on the Lord, and as we're having this good courage, the Lord is going before us. He sees the end of it. But he won't forsake us. As it said in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, where it says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We see, even though we're going through this time, it's not that God has forgotten us. He's just trying to test us so that he can refine us into the vessels that he wants us to be. And we see this in the life of Job, where he said, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And many times we see, sometimes these trials come into our lives, so not only are we, so not only can we rest in the Lord, but he's trying to show us something that he wants us to work on. And then Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31, I remember my great-grandmother quoting this verse very often. And I remember it used to be right there, right across from her rocking chair. As she'd sit in that rocking chair, and right there off to the right would be this verse. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." But I was thinking, the renewed strength that comes from waiting on the Lord. Because as we wait upon the Lord, we get that spiritual strength that we need to get through the different trials of life. And as we're going through these trials, we see that God gives us these wings as eagles. And as we're getting, and he'll show us, he guides us through this trial. But then sometimes we see that God guides us through these trials. And as he's guiding us through these trials, we can't lose hope that we can't say that he's forsaken us, because as we talked about earlier, he'll never leave us. But then at the same time, in conclusion, we see that maybe there's some things that you just don't think that you're able to commit to the Lord. But he gives you that strength that you need to commit that to him if you ask. Maybe it's just something small that you're not trusting in the Lord for. Maybe it is that unsaved loved one that you've been praying for years. But then as you're praying for them, maybe just as you're praying for them, pray with a little bit extra faith and give it a little bit, pray more fervently, as it says in James chapter 5, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And as you're praying about that, maybe the Lord wants you to take some time and just take some time to rest and just think about what he has done for you in the past. And as he's bringing these things into your mind, just as you're taking the time to rest, he'll bring things into your mind about how good he has been to you through that trial. And maybe through that trial, you're able to help someone else. You may not know. With a church this size, there's multiple people going through different things. But as they're going through these different things, maybe God sent you just slightly ahead of them so you can help them through that trial. Because sometimes, I know a lot of times for me, I would be going through different things, but sometimes there was an upperclassman who went through something similar in college. And I'd be like, now they're out serving God. And I'm like, how did you get through this time? But not only did they tell me, they also told me, rely on the Lord, trust in the Lord through that situation. But as I began to trust more and more in the Lord through that situation, I was able to see that the Lord had the plan for it. And maybe a year later, when that senior graduated, it would be me coming alongside that struggling freshman who's dealing with homesickness or other things and be like, hey, here's what this friend told me that I want to share with you about this. And the Lord uses different things in our lives to help better us for his service. But that whatever the need is tonight, I pray that this would be a blessing and an encouragement to you. And at this time, we'll go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Lord, I love you and thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach this message. Just help this to have been a blessing to the people and just help us, we go into this time of invitation, just help your word to have gone forth with power and just help all that we say and do, and bless the prayer time to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.